Greetings from Bishop Aubrey Shines and G2G Ministries in Tampa, Florida. We pray that you would be blessed and encouraged by the biblical message you are about to hear. Today's classic sermon from Bishop Shines continues the series Fundamental Doctrines with reference scripture Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 in the Amplified Classic and King James translations.
One and two, I promise. We won't be here but just another 3.5 hours. All right. Just making sure you're paying attention. Hebrews 6, listen, this is the basic of the scripture. Every believer needs to understand this, because if you don't, you're going to grow spiritually incorrectly. My job is to make sure that you're growing up spiritually strong. Let's read together. Read with Pastor. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. Look at the next verse. With teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware. How long? Please, before you take a seat, grab someone by the hand real quick and tell them this is part of the many doctrines that you and I are commanded to learn. Tell them if you learn these things, your life will change forever. Amen. As you take your seat, bring out your journal. Let's go to work here. If you were not here a few weeks ago, you're going to have to go back and get the CD. I can't cover the things that I covered. Let me tell you why I'm taking time to do this. Because anybody that understands some basic sciences will understand that just because your physical body gets larger doesn't mean that it's healthy. You can blow up or be bloated and look like you have a certain weight, but unless that weight is lean weight, it's not a healthy weight. My job is to make sure that you grow spiritually healthy. I got to push this in before I give you this. And this is going to really impact some of our young people here. So please hear Pastor's heart. Those of us who have already gone to school, already graduated, we can tell you that there were times in our life when we were learning various subject matters young that we didn't even think it made sense in this regard. What difference does, why do I need to know this? That's not going to impact my life over here, because what I want to become has nothing to do with what I'm learning over here. So if you've ever said that, how many parents, you know, you've said that, I know I've said that, you later learn as you get older that the things that you think are not relevant are actually very relevant. And things that you think really didn't have anything to do with the direction you wanted to go in will have everything to do with the direction that you're going in. The reason that I pause to tell you this, often we come to church with our own set of problems, our own set of challenges, things that we deem critical in our lives, things that we think I really need somebody to minister to me about A or about B. What we don't realize is that everything that our life consists of is actually found right here in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. If you understand every one of these basic doctrines, you will understand how to respond to some of the life challenges that you have. Can I just stay there for just one more moment? If you remember my friend that came in to do the marriage piece and that sort of thing, Minister John, when he called me a few years ago about his eye and he had lost vision peripherally, he had gone to various specialists. The specialists were not able to find what was wrong. When he got back into these doctrines and the Lord spoke to him out of that, that's when the Spirit of the Lord said, this has nothing to do with A, but it has everything to do with B. The moment that he applied B to his life, his eye popped back open and he never lost sight again. What the doctor could not do, him having a relationship in the Word of God changed his life. Will you become an evangelist for just a moment? Would you grab someone by the hand and tell them, if you don't know the Word, come on, tell them as a Christ follower, you will make silly choices in life. Let's go to the word here. Go with me real quickly over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, because I gave you this before, and I won't have a chance because, again, this is not a one day, one week, one month kind of thing. This is a teaching that I want to make sure that each of you grab here. And a lot of this I've already gone over, so I don't have time to go back into the three divisions about the angels and that sort of thing, but I am going to show you this. Let's go to it in the Amplified Translation. If you don't mind, everyone look up at the screen, just 22 through verse number 24. You'll see it yourself. Read, as a matter of fact, just look with me. Let me read it quickly. But rather that you have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the countless multitudes of angels in festals gatherings. These are things that everyone needs to know, and I've already begun to teach these things. And to the church, the assembly of the firstborn who are registered as citizens in heaven, and to the God who is judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous, the redeemed in the heaven who have been made perfect. Go to the last verse here. And Jesus, and to Jesus rather, the mediator, which is the go-between agent of a new covenant, or you can put the word constitution or a new group of laws. It really means the same thing. And to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance, which is found in Genesis 4 and 10. Now, I won't be able to cover all of that. The reason that I keep reading the same thing to you over and over is the same reason that when you were in grade school, they did the same thing with your ABCs. If you're ever going to get the whole of the eternal judgment doctrine, you got to keep going over some of the same simplistic things. Well, when are we going to get to that part? You got to be patient, and it's going to take some time, but I'm building you up slowly. That way you'll thoroughly understand this. And I'm telling you, I'm prophesying prophetically to you. Once you begin to get these things in your spirit, it's going to change your whole outlook on life. How many are ready to go to the next place that God really wants you to go to? Not about pastor. This one's about you. Well, once you get the word is going to lead you in the direction you need to go in. Amen. All right. So let's go a little further. And I gave some notes, and I'm just going to ask that the media would put those notes up for us. And that way I can try to just fly through as many of these as I can. Please. The first one here is found that relevance is not always immediately understood. In other words, what God has revealed to you, you're not always going to get the full picture. Let me make sure you get this, and I want to make sure you get this in your hearts, and please be attentive to the things of the Lord when I say this to you. God will give you a big picture for your life, but he won't give you all of the minute details. He'll just paint the picture and say, I'm going to bring you here, or I'm going to do such and such for you, or this is what I'm going to work out, or this is where you're going to end up at. But he never tells you the journey that you're going to go on to get to that point. In the doctrine of eternal judgment, please understand this. There has to be what is called a calculated response to the things of God. I didn't give this in the first service, but this is so necessary, and I'll go back to them. I'll get them next week. When we understand these things, when we understand the word, what happens is when God gives us the big picture, our study or our knowing the word will then begin to shape our future for us. What do you mean by that? Remember the scripture where it says that the steps of a righteous person are what? Boy, I like that y'all study. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous person is ordered of the Lord. That means that when you know the word then will order the direction. Remember, the scripture says that thy word is a lamp where? Unto my feet, and a what? And a light to where? My path. So watch this. Everyone take your Bible. I don't give, even if it's in a tablet, I need your imagination for just a moment. If you're older, you don't have to stand to do this. You can remain seated. But I do want everyone that can stand for just a moment. I want to show you this eternal judgment lived out, because you need to really understand how this thing really, really works out. Take your Bible or your tablet, wherever the word of the Lord is, and if you don't mind, at least point it towards the direction of your feet. Now, keep it in that direction, but look up at Pastor real quick. While that is pointed in your direction, your eyes are in one place, but your feet are going to be led by a whole nother set of direction. I want you to see that. You're looking at me. I intended to do this. I want you to look at me. Let me represent whatever your life is, whatever challenge you have, but where God leads you is not what you're looking at. Are you seeing that? So we're led by the Spirit. The Bible says, for the word that is a word is a lamp unto our feet. Why do we need a word as a lamp unto our feet? Because our feet will take us into some dark areas that our eyes cannot see. See, if we go by our sight, we can't see where we're going, because once you're immersed in darkness, your eyes can't see what you're looking at. You get it? But your word always knows the light, because the word is the light. And if the light is on your feet, watch this, is going to lead you in areas that your eyesight cannot take you in. Are you getting that? Give someone a high five before you take your seat and tell them, I'm getting this here. As you be seated. Now, here is the deal, though. Go to the next set of notes here really quickly. When the studying begins to lead you, or the word begins to lead you, please hear Pastor's heart, it won't lead you to where you want to go. Why? Because our eyes are designed, or we've designed in our immediate lifestyle, what we designed in a nutshell, we will only go to places that are pretty neat and pretty good and pretty cool. So if you're honest, watch this. None of us will go to an area that will cause us any kind of emotional strain, i.e., if we had our way, come on, we would all go to something that's good always, and everything in our eyes would work out the way we want it to work out. And we would never go to a place that's difficult or hard or challenging. I don't care what it is, business, relationships, whatever it is, we would never go into a direction, if we're honest, that would cause us any kind of heartache or hardship. Why? Because none of us are designed to want to go through pressure. So our eyes would never lead us here. Therefore, understanding the doctrine of eternal judgment here, then God will take you some places that your eyes or your life would never go if you had any say-so. Here's the good news, and then here's the greater news. The good news is you're not in control of you. The greater news is God's in control of you. And God knows better than you and I could ever know. It may not seem like it. Can I talk to some real people here? Have you ever been led to do some things and you realize you were in some places that after really, really thinking about it, had you been thinking, you never would have gone there in the first place? You ever take a job that looking back at it, you wish you wouldn't have taken it that way? Okay, let me make it plain. You ever had a friendship? Oh, yeah, I got a little more mm-hmms out there already. I didn't even finish the statement, but immediately you identify with that. You ever had your heart broken? Disappointment? Be honest. If you had a chance, you never would have gone in that direction. If you could have saw all the picture, you never would have went there. Now, some things you know, because you go back and you look and you go, man, if I'd have paid attention, then I never would have gone there. I've said this before. Some of us say things like that. You know, something told me. Listen, that's the doctrine of eternity that's working through you. The doctrine of eternity, say, not there. Go over there. Go over there. Go over here. Do this. Do that. Do that. And so when we begin to grow, because this is what this is all about. Remember what Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, it says, until we grow into a place of spiritual maturity. Pull it back up. I need y'all to see it. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. You got to see this, because if you don't get it, then when you begin to go through some things, I know what's going to happen. You're going to blame God for what you're going through. And I can't let you do that. So look at Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 one more time. Go back to the Amplified Translation. Look at what it says. Therefore, let us move on past the elementary things. Everybody say that means kindergarten. Is that let us move on and move forward to what? To maturity. Is that there? So that lets you know that there's a what's called a spiritual maturity that we're trying to get to. Now we can go back to the notes. So when we begin to grow in the things of God, it's God's way of growing us up. You know why some of us weep and cry and we act like little kids? Because we are little kids in the spirit. And we've never grown through these growing pains until you get into a place of maturity. Let me deal with those of you that have not been here yet. Parents can relate to this. See, it's easy to say as a teenager what your parents should be doing until you become one. When we say things like that, we're speaking as someone that is not parented yet. When I get grown, that's a sign right there, you ain't. Because you would never say it. That's almost like walking in saying, I'm the man. If you don't know it, you got a whole nother challenge going on ahead of you. See, when God is growing us up, he doesn't do it the way we want it to be done. Because what he's trying to do is bring us to this place of maturity. That way we're no longer, remember what Paul said? Paul said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. He said, I act like a child. I thought like a child. He said, however, when I became an adult, when I became a man, he said, I put away some childish things. See, when you're spiritually not grown yet or have reached an adult place, you will have behavior like a child. Part of the doctrine of eternal judgment deals with how to judge whether you are mature or whether you are immature. A sign of maturity, please write it down, is when things go bad, you don't blame God. Immaturity say, God did it. Why did God do this? Why has God? When you begin to talk like that, it's not a sign that you really understand this doctrine of eternity yet. Because as you grow, you realize the word may have led you in some areas that your mind never would have taken you in. Your spirit must be in control, not your soul / emotions. By the way, your body's going to go whichever direction that is, fighting or not. That's just the reality. So as our spirit grows, guess what happens? We begin to become more mature. And I didn't give this in the first service because it was really for this third week. But I got to give it to you real quick because it's really apropos right here. You know what another sign of understanding eternal judgment means? Please write this down. It means you talk less. Remember the scripture? That a wise person is quick to hear, but they're slow to speak. As you mature, you don't open up your mouth, watch this, and make judgments on things that you really don't even understand. I wonder why she did it that way. Maybe she was led to do it that way. Why did he have to do it that way? If he was, you know, a good pastor, you ain't one. You don't understand that. If I was her, you're not her. I wouldn't put up with this. You didn't have to. No one called you to. See, maturity makes you be quiet because you're not always going to understand what God is doing in another person's life. Eternal judgment makes you have your own compass and you're going to be led as God leads you and not as people want to guide you. And if you don't understand the two, you got to grow up a little more. I got to get you back here in the word. Come on, let's go a little further here because I want you to see this and we'll get to some more notes here in just a moment. And keep that right there. But I got to first go to Isaiah really, really quick. And I want to please, Stacy, bring back up those same notes in just a moment. Go quickly to Isaiah 28:21. Isaiah 28:21. And I want to show you this. Let's go to the NIV. Thank you so much. Because a lot of us viewed God a certain kind of way. And I'm going to get into Moses here in just a moment. Because you really need to see it because this is how the Hebrews thought. Go to, here it is. All right, look at this. The Lord will rise up as he did at Mount Perazim. He will rouse himself as in the valley of Gibeon to do his work, his strange work, and perform his task, his alien task. I need you to write down the word alien there. Let me tell you why this is important to understand the doctrine of eternal judgment. Because up until this moment where Isaiah comes along, the people of God understood God through Moses, the prophet. And so even in synagogues today, if you've ever been, what you'll learn is that they're forever quoting Moses because Moses was the lawgiver. And so in the midst of this, one of the things that happened was that their mind regarding the doctrine of judgment only saw God as a God of wrath and a God of anger. As a matter of fact, several passages actually quote saying that God is terrible in his anger. So the Hebrew mind viewed God as only a God that would kill him. Now, I want you to get this, because whether you believe it or not, most of us are shaped the same way, not just in the area of God, but how we view life and what we understand. Now, to really get this, understand why Moses did what he did. And I'm going to get here to Isaiah, but it ties into this doctrine of eternal judgment. If you remember the story, Moses is called by God. He goes up into this mountain. Now, get the big picture, but I want you to put yourself as Moses, but I need you to be honest. Would you touch two people and tell them, Pastor, really need you to be honest right now? All right, y'all sound like you got it. I want you to imagine this is you. God calls you. You go up into this mountain. Now, let's paint the whole picture. And you don't eat for 40 some days. How many know you already got an issue? Some of y'all can't make it past lunch without being cranky. Would you touch someone on the row and say he's talking to you, whether you say amen? Don't miss three dinners. All right, thank you. Yes, sir. And I'm with you, and let me tell you why. He goes up into this mountain. He's not eating anything. Watch this. He goes up with his hair all nice and manicured, nice and shiny black. In 40 days, he's not eating anything. He's been in the presence of God, and everything about him has changed, including his hair done turned white. He comes back down to the glory to glory. And by the time he's been up making all these sacrifices, the people have gone crazy. They're no longer worshiping Jesus. They got all these whacked out idols, and they're doing all kind of stuff in the church. That's what they're doing. Now, if that doesn't get it, let me help you get it. You spend a lifetime raising your children. Yeah, I know. I knew y'all were out there. Now you're going to feel this thing. And you give them all of the proper accoutrements that you think they need to be successful. Let's not make it your kids. Let's make it one of your best friends. Let's make it your ex-lover. Let's make it something that meant something to you. You put everything into this individual or this group, and you go away to make it even better for them, only to come back and they done dog you totally out. I can feel that thing reverberating in this church. Would you reach over and give someone a high five and say, nah, he's done hit home. Yeah, I'm about to park my car now. I'm going to block you in. You ain't getting out your driveway. I'm going to keep you there. Moses goes up and he gets all this revelation. He comes back. Now, you got to understand, Moses done been somewhere. Because Moses was out really minding his own business and God called him. Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and stand before the king, and I want you to say everything I give you to say. Moses' first response, I stutter. Read it for yourself. Moses stuttering, I can't do it, Lord. My tongue is messed up. Jesus, thank you. God said, I'm going to fix your tongue. I'm going to do. So Moses has this experience. He does all these things. He lead the folk out, and the same folk he's leading. Come on. Y'all got to get this doctrine of eternity here. Because if you don't get the big picture, you won't get what I'm trying to really give you here. See, everything that God gives you to do, please write this down. It has very little actually to do with you. What God is really setting you up, if you understand the doctrine of eternity, has more to do with the level of influence that he's really going to put in your life. That way you can impact someone else's life. I'm going to get there in another few weeks, but I'm trying to give you the groundwork. The doctrine of eternity is not just about you and how you view it. So God does all these things. God uses this man. He goes up into a mountain. I want you to feel the impact here. And comes back down, and the church has gone buck wild. And nobody's doing anything that God called them to do anymore. Moses has these holy tablets out of rock. He done come back down. God, hallelujah, has written on the rock. And Moses, can you imagine this for a moment? Moses comes down with these tablets that God himself had written on. Can you imagine? He's happy. He may be happy because he's about to eat too. I don't know. I know I would be happy. I'm about to get something to eat as well. Moses is coming down, and by the time he walks over in Temple Terrace, the Bible says Moses broke, boom, tore up the Ten Commandments because these folk done went crazy. God's next response, you can read it on your own. God said, you know what? I'm going to destroy all these folk. Moses does this. This is the doctrine of eternity. I'm going to show it and prove it to you in just two more verses. The Bible says that Moses steps between the people and between God. And Moses says to God, God, don't kill them folk. Because if you kill them people, those wicked kings over in Egypt that you brought us out of, they're going to say, yeah, your God could get you out, but he couldn't keep you. And God says, okay, Mo, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't going to destroy him. You deal with him. Can we have an honest moment? I said this to the first service. It's just true. See, part of judgment is knowing who you are. Please write that down. If you don't know your strength and your weakness, then here's the deal. Then what God will use you in, you will only view it and base it upon your own experience. That's why you really need to be led of the Lord, because this is not just about your experience. Had I been Moses and God wanted to kill you after I didn't miss 40 days of eating, come on, tell your neighbor, please be real, keep it real. Now, if y'all want a politically correct message, I ain't the one. I'm just telling, this is my strength and my weakness. Had God come to me and said, now, Aubrey, I'm going to kill them all. I'm like, Lord, start with her, move through him, and wipe him out. Because they gave me hell anyway. My thoughts would have been, God, raise up a whole nother crew. Because I'm not dealing with these folk here anymore. You want to kill them? Do your thing. I'm with you. I would have killed them a long time ago. Now, that may not be nice, but see, part of the doctrine of eternity means that you got to deal with your own weakness and your own strength. I'm not trying to be funny here. People, if you don't know who you really are, then the way you're going to view God's creation and what God wants you to do is going to be based out of your own experience. The reason I can be transparent is because I know what my strength and I know what my weaknesses are. Oh, don't you look at me in that tone of voice. You got your own set of issues that you deal with. Don't let anybody tell you I got it together. They're a liar. That's the first thing wrong with them. They're all liars. Because everybody deals with something in their lives that is going to be a challenge to them. And if you don't recognize where your challenges are, listen, you'll never get that thing fixed in your life, because you will pretend you got it together when the truth is you really ain't together, not in that area of your life. Stop pretending of what you are and what you're not. Don't let some of these old people make you feel horrible because they got it together in that area. I ain't sinning in that area. You ain't sinning because nobody tempting you. I got that all covered. You done did enough for a lifetime. Some of you young folks should have been, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. No, that doesn't give you a license to be crazy. I'm just saying, if you don't know you need help, how do you get help when you don't know you need help? If you don't, there it is. If you don't understand your proclivity, you're going to judge something incorrectly. Are you listening? That's why I put the notes here. If you don't understand that proclivity in you, then you're going to judge things based upon your own inability. That doesn't mean that you make everything wrong because you're wrong in that area. I ain't going to say nothing because, see, I got a problem there. No, say something because it's still right to say something. How many have figured out by now if God wanted you to smoke, he'd have put a chimney on top of your head? You inhaling, just tearing your lungs up. Guess what's going to happen when you need healing? Y'all pray for me. Pray the Lord. I got cancer of the lungs. Well, you smoke. Well, I didn't think it was nothing wrong with it. Didn't you hear, Pastor, if God wanted you to have smoke in you, he'd put a chimney up there. Let the smoke escape. Oh, this ain't about heaven and hell issue. Some things should just have some common sense. Come on. Now watch it. I'm not going to say anything. Why won't you? I'll show you why you don't do it here in just a moment. Come on. Let's go to the... I only have 15 minutes. I got to get you out of here. Y'all going to see a losing game today anyway, so... Oh, they're going to lose. All right. Come on. Come on. Go over to St. John 3:17. I need you to see this about God. Because, see, the Hebrews thought that God was just a God of judgment. And they really didn't understand. How many know that when we see Christ, we've seen God? Jesus said, what you see me do, that's what the Father instructed me to do. He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. He said, I don't do anything except the Father tells me to do it. As a matter of fact, the Jews got so mad at him when he began to make himself God. You know what he said? He said, when they said, hey, how can you say you've seen God? And you were around when Moses. He said, man, you ain't even 50 years old. Jesus says, before there was Moses, I am. As a matter of fact, that's in John 8. He was letting them know, I am him. I'm just in the flesh right now. So if we don't understand that, we won't understand. Go to the scripture real quick. Here's the eternal judgment of God. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to do what? What does judgment mean? To reject it, to condemn it, or to pass sentence on it. So I want you to get that. Please get this. The heart of the doctrine of eternity really deals with God and how he judges and why he judges and why he does what he does. This is so imperative. This is, if you don't get this, you're going to miss the whole thing. Go to the rest of it. He says, but that the world might find what? Salvation and be what? Made safe. And sound. So what is real judgment? Real judgment is really an act of love where we are making sure people are protected. So when you're sharing the doctrine of eternity, don't come off as sending everyone to hell. They know that already. Some folk would tell you, if I got to see you in heaven, I don't want to go. So don't make it about you. Make it about the safety of God. See, the real doctrine of eternity shows what God's real purpose was, and it wasn't to come to sentence the world to hell, but it was to create an environment where the world could be safe in him. Now, there are some consequences. If you reject what he's already prepared, it's not him sending you to hell, it's you opening your own door. I'll prove it to you. Every parent knows this here. How many have parents that have had teenagers that have reached 16? Let me just talk to you real quick. All right, that's the majority of you here. Here it is in a nutshell. If you had when your son or daughter got 16, what was the first thing they wanted? Everybody already knows it. See, parents already understand it. That's why y'all in Unity car. How many know that if you bought the car, prepared for the car, had the car even before his or her 16th birthday, you did not give them the keys until they were 16? The reason being is because they're not licensed, you cannot get insurance, and if they hurt someone, you're responsible. You got that? Go back in your mind to St. John 3:17. God didn't come to sentence your son, your daughter to never drive. He just simply says, if you're going to drive, you got to drive within this safe place called 16. Because 16 allows you to do some things that you could not do at 15. Are y'all getting it? So then what God does for you and I, he creates environments, watch this, that we can help others understand that you're not coming off as insensitive or intolerant, but your sharing of the gospel has everything to do with bringing them into a safe environment. And if your God is shown as someone that loves them so much, he wants them to be safe, guess what? Then you take the sting out of the judgment because they will see it as love. How many love your children? Fake it, even if you don't right now. Just have faith to believe it. How many know that when you love them, your number one priority is create safety for them? Can I help some of you young teenagers that are here right now, and those of you maybe even in your early 20s? When your parents are telling you no, or when your parents are giving you buffers, or when your parents are saying, no, I don't want you to do this, we're not trying to make your life miserable. We're doing exactly what God did for us. We're creating some safe zones. That way, you don't go into a direction that would take you out of safety. My mother had safe zones, a whole lot of them. I didn't think for a long time she liked anybody. That was my thought, God be my witness. Because, well, not anybody, but most everybody. Because people that, guys, girls, didn't matter to her. She was, in my opinion, she was an equal distributor of dislike. Just, it could be a guy, it could be a girl, it didn't matter. She said, I don't know. Don't you bring them over here again. And I could not understand that for the life of me. As a teenager, I'm thinking, she must have had a really rough life. I didn't say that out loud because I lived in an era, if you said certain things out loud, I never would have met you. I'm sure I would have seen Jesus by now. We didn't talk back. No such animal. Even if you thought it too hard, I was afraid she'd know my thoughts. So I walked around with a complex. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. But I remember her so clearly not allowing certain people to. You've heard me tell you a few of the stories. True. Guy comes up to the house one day. He'd never been there. I knew him from school. And we were going to go hang out. It's Friday night. You know, he got a car. My mother looks out. Who is this? I said, oh, that's my friend such and such. She didn't say anything. I'm thinking, cool. This is going to work. Comes into the house. I introduce him. Very polite young fella. And she said, all right, go outside, young man. Aubrey will be out there in just a moment. Got me one. I got really, really happy. Like, finally, she likes somebody. And when I went out, she said, now tell me about that boy. I told him who he was and what his name was. She didn't like his name. And, no, this is true. How many of you had friends you named them nicknames? I ain't going to even tell you what his nickname was. It was probably a dead giveaway. I probably should have thought about it and used his more proper name. If I would have said, his name is James, mother. James. Maybe she would have responded to him. I don't know. And when I told him what the nickname, she said, all right, so what y'all about to do? When we go into such and such, she said, all right, now you can do this. I said, okay, Ma. I went down to kiss her. And she said, now you go out there and tell him that you ain't going anywhere with him. You know, when you got a little peach fuzz, you think you're a man. I'm like, wow. I said, Mom, I'm grown. Step back. she said, so, and she never responded. I said, Ma, I can't believe. I said, what's wrong with him? She said, let me tell you something. That boy ain't going to turn out to be anything. I said, how do you know... I'm just baffled that she keeps doing this to me. She said, now you have a choice. If you don't want to go tell him, I'll tell him you're not going. So I went out and I lied. I did. Hey, man, something came up. Here's a dollar, bro. I'm sorry you came all the way over to get me, but I got to handle some things for moms. Oh, man, you can't. Well, something did come up, but it wasn't the truth. It was. Let me come over here. I know y'all have told the truth. I didn't want to seem like mama had punked me out. She did, but you know. So I had to go and tell him I can't go. She did it all the time. You know what I learned? She wasn't doing it because she didn't like them. She could see something that my 16, 17-year eyes could not see. Looking back on the several that she did that to, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Because I would be not here or in prison or something. Because some of them guys were up to something that my eyes could not see. Let me bring it back spiritual. See, when God gives us buffers, it's not to hurt us. It's to protect us. Young men, women, your parents are not trying to hurt you. They're trying to protect you. You did it. That's why we don't want you to do it. You drank it. That's why we don't want you to drink it. You smoked it. That's why we don't want you to smoke it. You had a boyfriend. That's why we don't want you to have one. You had a girl. We don't want you to have her. She's crazy. See, it's to help you, not hurt you. The doctrine of eternity, please write it down, is how we communicate it. See, when we love someone, let me close here. Got to. Last point. When we love people, we'll warn them about not being protected. Oh, don't make that sexual. You're missing the bigger point. Those of you, I gave this in the other, every one of us have been given what is called an area of influence, a sphere of influence. That means that every one of you, come on, point your hand on your heart. Don't look at your neighbor. Say, on my job, say in my family, in my community, among my old friends. Say, God actually placed me there to be light, to be salt, and to make them all understand the doctrine of eternity. Everyone look at Pastor. That doctrine is that you can share in a nice, loving way that God has more for them in the direction they're going in. They're outside of the community of safety. And what God really wants them to do is be safe and prosper in everything. Do you know that the last point I want to give you is this simple? You want to know who you really are, whether you're mature or not? And I'm going to teach you how to get here in the next few weeks. And I'm warning you, this is going to be a little rough for some of you. Because everything that's good for you don't taste good to you. I said it in the first service. The reality of it is, an orange is sweet and it's wonderful. It's full of vitamin C. But a lemon that is bitter is actually higher in its concentration of vitamin C. Bitter to drink, but higher level of vitamin C. See, when we really love people, we want to create an environment to help them. And here's the bottom line. You want to know whether or not you're mature or you're immature in these doctrines? Here's a simple test, and I'll teach you how to pass this test. Because in my opinion, most of you have never passed this test. And I'll challenge you on it. Mature people, write it down, people follow you. It's a fact. Immature people don't attract anyone but immature people. Who's following you? Who are you leading? Show me your fruit. Oh, I've been in the church for years. It means nothing to me and definitely nothing to God. A lot of people in church ain't gonna make it. I know that's a rough word, but that's just a fact. Well, why don't we kick them out? Because it ain't our job to kick them out. Our job is to do what we're doing. Well, why can't we do it? Listen, let me explain. James put it this way. James is the brother of Jesus. James says, for the spirit of Antichrist has already crept into the church unaware. That's the scripture. It literally means that that which opposes Jesus is not just on the outside world, but it's in the church. Our job as mature people is to raise up generations. And when we raise them up, you'll know you're mature by asking yourself the question, if I have no one following me, you may have a position here. But if no one ever follows you to the house of the Lord, well, I witnessed, but they can't come. Your maturity will lead people where you are. Can I prove it to you? Anybody ever had a great parent or aunt or uncle you love being around? If they were good to you, you never had to beg them for anything. You just wanted to be around them. You know why? Because there's something always sweet about that individual that they didn't have to get on the phone. Now you want to come? You begged to want to go with them. You know why? There was something that was always drawing you about the element of safety they developed for you. And you know, that's how we should be as mature believers. See, when you really understand these doctrines, what I'm trying to do is grow you to a point that so many people are going to be influenced by your life that they're going to want what you want. They're going to desire what you have. It doesn't mean that you both don't go through problems. It just means that you handle yours in a very sane, godly way. And people are going to want to know. Now, don't get mad when I say this. But as this course begins to come to an end in another X amount of weeks or whenever it is, it's going to challenge every one of you in the area that God has placed you in to become productive in that area. Your productivity, listen, last verse, Romans 14 says it this way, for we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an answer of what we did, what we did not do. I'm going to get to that. That means that all of us are going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an answer. I don't know about you. I want a good answer. Oh, I have some good news. It's going to scare a little bit. But I tell you this, it's going to develop you. And you're going to see the world through a different set of lens. You're going to know that God has really placed you in this earth, not just to prosper you by yourself for yourself, but what God wants to do through you is that so powerful that you begin to impact the lives of other people. How many are ready to become a person of influence? Listen, this ain't to make you look good. It's to make God look phenomenal. How many are ready to build the kingdom of God for real? How many are really ready to make a difference for real? Listen, if you know people that are lost, guess what? They're outside of the safety of God. God ain't happy that they're lost and going to hell. He's happy that you have a message that can prevent them from doing so. I'll say it again. God is not happy that any of your friends, loved ones are lost and away from him. You remember what the scripture says? I didn't read it to you, but I can quote it. The Bible says that God wishes that none should perish, none should be lost, but that all should come to know who he is. Guess what? You're that mouthpiece. You're that person of influence. You want the blessings. Let me tell you, there's some labor in this thing. If there's no labor, there's no paycheck. If you don't do the work, you can't get paid. Come on, God doesn't have an entitlement community that everybody gets the same because you showed up. Doesn't work that way. This isn't socialism. This is the kingdom of God, and God wants to prosper you. God wants to deliver you, set you free, and more importantly, God wants to use you. I don't care what you've been through. God is going to use you. God is going to be glorified in your life. The things in your past are going to be that. They're just going to be in your past. And God's going to give you a new vision for a new day, for a new hope. And he's about to change it all for you. I don't know about you, but that makes my hands go up quick and in a hurry. If you believe it, would you stand to your feet? We got to go. But I want you to stand to your feet and lift up your hand. As a matter of fact, lift both of them, not just your right hand or your left hand. Lift both hands just for a moment. Close your eyes. I think we all need to repent on this. Say this with me. Father, forgive me of all of our sins, every transgression. Say, we believe that one day you're coming again. Do a new work in my heart. Help me understand these doctrines. That way I can become more faithful in the area in which you're calling me in. Say, I believe I'm in the right place at the right time. I believe you're coming again, but before you come, help me help people in my atmosphere, people in my community, people in my family, people at my job, people at my school, people that I meet in a mall. God, help me be the light that your will would be glorified. And I'll take no credit, but I'll lift my arms and hands, and I'll give your name all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Say it with me, thank you that you have forgiven me of all my sins. Your blood has cleansed me, and I walk with a renewed mind. I walk with being spirit-filled, and I will accomplish your will in this earth. If you really mean it, put those hands together like you really believe it. Put them together like you really believe it. We got to go. Come on, that's it. You're sounding good.
We hope this message has been a blessing in your life. To hear more inspiring, transformative messages,
visit glorytoglory.org and make sure you follow and like us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.